Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Don't you just love her voice, everyone? Usually Candy sets her up on the commercial, but hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. I made a little mistake. I don't even have to tell you because my guest and I have been laughing about this for probably 20 minutes. But anyways, I got her here, and I'm going to bring her on in a minute. But first, I want to tell you some things. The magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com, of course, went up on the 1st. And, you know, I'm looking at the date, and pretty soon I'm going to be sending out reminders. I don't know where the time goes. I really, really don't. But depends upon how long the month is. Sometimes it's the 30th or the 31st, so I have an extra couple of days there. But if it's like the 28th, like February, I don't, so I'll send them out early. But anyways, everybody is welcome to contribute, to submit. I like an image with any kind of article or poetry, excerpt from a book, and I'll write you back, of course, if I need any more details, and you would mail that to StarsCast, STARZ, like in zebra, CAST, like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. I get a lot of stuff, you know, from publicists, you know, that, you know, would you consider putting my work in your magazine, your prestigious magazine? Well, I didn't know it was prestigious, but I've had it a long time. So that says something for itself because I keep filling it, and I'm not lacking for, you know, submissions. So I guess it is, we're going to say it's prestigious. I like that word anyways. But, okay, so that's been up, and I'll be sending out reminders. Don't forget, I accept poetry, articles. You can write about anything. It doesn't have to be metaphysical. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be spiritual. I have a gal who was in the service, and she writes about post-traumatic stress. So you see, it'll cover anything. It's of human interest, I want to say. You can send anything of human interest and also include an image because I'll ask you for one of some kind. And I want to mention Stars with a Z, psychics.com. You heard my friend Karen mention that. We're still redesigning, but we're still very close to the new background. I mean, and once that's done, Tony's already working on the other pages. I mean, the site is really big. But we're doing some, you know, adding some bells and whistles. I'm going to have, like, messages from Natalie, what's current, what's coming up, things of that nature. So you'll be, you know, apprised when you come on the site. I may even run some kind of little contest so people can earn minutes. I like to do that. You know, Natalie likes to do things like that. Sometimes you'll see in your account, oh, the Stars Fairy, which is me, gave you 5 minutes. I do that all the time. Why? You're saying, why does she do that? I love people, and I know it's a tough time for people, and I always get a really nice thank you, and it's worth it to me. And just say it's part of my job. So, anyways, without further ado, we're going to bring my wonderful guest. I already know what she looks like because we saw each other on Skype. She didn't see me, but I saw her. Anyways, my guest today is Anna Parkinson. She is a healer, okay, and she has a very interesting life from the very beginning. She's an author, public speaker. I guess she's in the College of Psychic Studies in London. We'll ask her about that, or maybe that was something that she did. But anyways, welcome, Anna Parkinson. How are you?
I'm really well, Natalie. I'm really happy to be talking to you.
Oh, I'm happy too. Like I told everybody, we were laughing. We got the times mixed up and all that. But like you and I say, it doesn't matter. We're here. We're good. We're happy. That's all that counts. So what I want to do, Anna, is I want to start at the beginning for you. Like, you know, I mean, I know in my little page here it tells me what happened to you, but you had a brain tumor, right?
Yeah, I mean, I used to have what I would describe as a proper job. I had a very good job. I was a producer for the BBC, and I lived with my husband and two small children. And it was a very pressured job, though. It was quite pressured, and although I enjoyed it, I was getting very frustrated. It was felt like there was something in me that I couldn't express, that I didn't have time to express. And finally, I took some time off from work to write a book about an ancestor of mine who was a very famous herbalist in the 17th century. He was herbalist to King Charles I.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and he
published That's amazing.
A couple of... It is, well, you know, the funny thing is I grew up knowing about this man, but he published a couple of books in the 17th century, which, believe me, was a much bigger deal than publishing a couple of books in the 21st century.
I bet. I mean, who would you think about it? Who would you go to? I mean,
well,
self-published?
His books, you know? No, his books were exactly. His books were printed by the royal printers, and they were all about plants. And that was his life. He was in love with plants, and he was an apothecary. He was a gardener. He grew plants. He knew what they tasted like. He knew what they healed. He knew where they came from. He knew who gave which plant to whom all the way across the world. He knew the history of these plants for the last 2,000 years.
What a great source, huh?
So I borrowed this book that he wrote or that he published in 1629 from my father.
Oh, my gosh.
And I fell in love.
Can you tell? I love old things, Anna. I'll tell you a story afterwards. But, oh, go ahead. Tell us the story here.
Well, so that was the beginning of it. In a way, you know, we were talking before we started about how you don't really know what's happening to you. It just happens. And
Right. Actually,
I look back and I realized that the house that we just moved into was built probably when he was still alive. And I was seeing things outside my window that were the same, that were completely unchanged. Anyway, I read this book. I fell in love. I tried to find out more about him, and I kept on coming across this phrase, not very much is known. Well,
I like that.
I was a journalist, and, you know, that phrase, if you're a journalist, is like red rag to a bull. What do you mean not very much is known? And I decided that I would find his story. So I set about doing that, and I got more and more excited, and I prepared to write a book about him, which was called Nature's Alchemist.
Yes.
So all of this was good. But, in fact, it was very good. But about 2 weeks after I started writing that book, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I had lots of health problems, but I'd ignored them, and I just kind of got on with my life. But when they said that I had a brain tumor, that was a completely different order. It was like, well... In fact, just to cut a very long story short, when I realized that they couldn't actually operate on this tumor, I had to explore other ways of dealing with it. And that was my first experience of healing. I knew nothing about healing. But as soon as I found, if you like, a healer who could really communicate with me, it was like the scale fell from my eyes. It was I completely understood that this was the same as the life that I had been living. but it was like seeing myself from another point of view. And it was like I'd stepped through the looking glass and moved into a different way of seeing. And so gradually I learned how to heal. I thought it was the most exciting thing I'd ever come across in my life. And I also learned how to heal my brain tumor, which disappeared. And when I had successfully seen on the scan that it had gone, I wrote a book about how you can heal yourself, and or how it worked for me. And that book was called Change Your Mind, Heal Your Body.
I see it on your site, yes.
Yeah. And so in the meantime, I guess for the last, you know, one of my first thoughts when I was diagnosed with a brain tumor was, I'm not going to waste any more of my life in the BBC, bless them. That was the first thing.
Right,
I
want to do a good time to do what you wanted to do, right? And was that always to write?
Exactly.
Yep.
I wanted
Goodbye.
To write. Yeah,
see ya.
Sure.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like, if I'm going to go blind or die, I am, whatever happens, going to finish this book before that happens. That was my first thought. And I did finish it, and it is published. And it was a good book, and I am very grateful. But meanwhile, while I was writing it, I was becoming a healer, and I was going deeper and deeper into healing, because every healing that I gave to somebody was teaching me something. And
yeah.
I was learning more and more about the nature of our consciousness and the way in which it operates in our bodies and the way in which we can use it. And so my new book, Beyond Sex and Soup, is about, yes, it's all about being human. Yes, we need sex and soup. We are fundamentally animals as human beings. But
Correct.
We go beyond that. We
yeah.
we are
no, you're
curious.
Right.
We are clever. Our minds are extraordinary. And what I'm trying to say in the book is that every feeling that you have, every passion that you experience is showing you something. It's about, it's unveiling your path, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
you can work through all that to be clear, to discover yourself and to be free.
Now, how old were you when this happened to you?
I was in my mid-40s when I had the brain tumor.
So you had headaches and stuff like that, I suppose, right? Or you couldn't
see
right or something affected you, right?
Well, interestingly, I had double vision. I was cross-eyed. I had double vision. And actually what I say to people now is double vision, metaphorically, is exactly what you need in your life.
I was going to say, it sounds like a good thing to have. I can see you this way, but then I can see you that way. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And a long time ago, when I was a young journalist, I was lucky enough and determined enough to interview the Dalai Lama in Ladakh, in northern India. And one of the, I asked him a very political question because I was recording for the BBC and I thought, oh, my editors will want me to ask this. But he was lovely. He was completely unfazed. He didn't mind whether you were asking about angels or gods or politics. It was all the same to him. And he said, when you are young, you see with one eye. And you hear with one ear. When you grow older, you see with two eyes and you hear with two ears.
You know, that's
and I thought,
true. I mean, I'm, you know, I think back to how I was when I was young, 20s, 30s, even 40s. And I'm different. I was thinking that today. I went with my friend for lunch and we were walking and I was thinking about that. And I thought, I feel so different than how I was before. Actually, I like who I am right now. I love what I do. And that's, if you can find a passion like that, you've got it made. I'm surrounded by beautiful people like yourself all over the world. And how many people
but
get
you
that?
You communicate on, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
For you, it's like the love is like breath. And it connects you to everybody and everything. And it's like, if you like, it's the vigor of your spirit. It's the envelope of your physical body. So
yeah,
you do have physical reactions and physical experiences, but everything is interpreted through this spirit that has grown, which is fueled by love.
Right. And you know, speaking of that, one of my poets who writes for he's a friend of mine for years, writes poetry for the magazine, and I occasionally put the pictures of my deer, little movie clips of them, because I have a camera that I have outside so I can see how big they're growing and all that. And he mentioned it to me because I always give him a link to the article or whatever and tell him how beautiful his poetry is and all that. We talk a little bit, and he wrote me back, and he said, you know, I wanted to tell you, I saw the clip of your deer, and he had that in quotes. He said, you know, they are yours. And I'm thinking, what else is he going to say? So I'm reading it, and he said, you know, it's your love that brings them to you. He said, it's not the food.
I didn't hear that. No,
and he said it to you. He said it to you. Mm. Well, you know, I have to tell you this. This is funny. It's in the dark. It's dark, right? I turn my porch light on and my outside light on because, you know, I'm in South Carolina, so we get snakes and things like that. And so I want to make sure where I'm going. And I bring out two big bowls. I mean, I have two kinds of deer food. I put in carrots. I cut up the apples. No, I don't peel them, Anna, but I cut them up. And I put them out there, and I stand there. I'll say, okay, girls, Willow, Lily, come on, time to eat. And I listen real close because I know they're waiting in the woods. I just know it. And so I have a cat named Mushy, and I said, Mushy, okay, well, I'm going to come in now because the girls I know are listening, and they're going to be at the bowls any moment, and we don't want to scare them. I'm talking out loud. My neighbors heard me. They think I was nuts. But no, they probably wouldn't. That's just Natalie. Let her do her thing. She loves it. And sure enough, within about 7 to 8 minutes, here they come.
Yes.
And it's the most beautiful feeling to know that these, and they're big, that they feel so comfy in the back of your house, right by your porch. And if it's raining, Anna, I put the bowls on my porch. They come on my porch.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
well,
they are
animals
protecting
are not
them.
Stupid. Animals have a really strong sense. We also have that sense, but we tend to think our way through it and
yes.
not really just let ourselves feel it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that was one of the nicest compliments that anybody could ever. They feel your love. It's your love that's bringing them to you. He said, not
absolutely.
The food.
Absolutely. No, absolutely, it's true. And, you know, I mean, we don't know each other, but I can hear it. I can close my eyes, and I can feel that same loving energy in your your breath. I can feel it.
Thank you. It's the greatest compliment. And, you know, I laugh, you know, sometimes, you know, my son, we talk an awful lot. He comes over quite a few times a week, and he's got a daughter and a wife, of course, but he'll say to me, Mom, you do all of this for nothing. And I'll look at him and I'll say, yeah, but you can't tell me there isn't anybody watching what I'm doing. And when it's my name is on that page in that book, I'm going to get a royal welcome because I'm helping the world. One author said, you are food for the soul. That's what you do, he said. I had some jaw issues, and I said to the gal, I said, well, don't talk about wiring my jaw because we're not doing that. I have to talk. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, you know, I'm very happy right now, and I say thank you every morning when I talk to God, I talk to Jesus. But I'm so appreciative because you know, people out there are listening and saying, well, you know, I have this and this, and I'm going to tell you that if you just have to take a pill and that's all you have to do in your life, who cares? Take the pill. And go off and do what you have to do. You know, some people don't have that luxury. Some people end up having, you know, bad things happen to them. I can also remote view. mm-hmm. somebody's having surgery or something, and their name is, as I say it, your name is not on the books, I can go there and help you, and I do. But I, mm-hmm. Your name, came, in other words, on the books, meaning there isn't anything I can do. I can't erase your name off that page. I can't take it out
no,
of that
of
book.
Of course you can't. Of course you can't. I think that when you give healing, and again, you know, this is what the process of healing teaches you. It's like every time I go in to give somebody a healing, I'm privileged to be part of their story, to see their story. But mm-hmm. the healing doesn't really come, well, we know the healing doesn't come from me. It just comes through me.
Right.
And the way in which it works for that person depends entirely on the person. So you receiving healing are the receptive soil, and you can go a long way with it as I was lucky enough to. But if your soil is not receptive, it won't do you any harm, but it won't necessarily do what you wish it would do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I feel so good. My family's healthy. I have a granddaughter who's going to be 18 in June. She just got accepted to this college. It's called SCAD. She won an award for her illustrations and design. I couldn't ask for anything more. And I said to my son, I said, you know, all that I'm doing reflects upon you. So if you, and he is like me, Anna, that's the weird, he's real smart, but he's like me also. He's so giving. I mean, he doesn't like to even hurt a spider. He'll pick it up and take it outside. I mean, mm-hmm. and he's feeding probably more deer than I am, but he has a bigger yard backed up to some trees, the woods. I don't have that. So they can't come. They don't come during the day for me. He sees them. He says, Mom, they walk right up to me. I said, you see? I said, you see that? And I started him doing that because he was asking me. And
well, that's
I'll laugh,
the only way
and
you can
say,
teach your children, isn't it? You
yes.
can't tell
and,
your children.
You know, I said
to
him, you know what? His name is Louis. I said, you know, Louis, I'll keep doing this even if I have to eat a can of tuna a day because that's what I am. That's who I am and what I'm about, and I love every moment of it. You know, I went through a lot. I had a husband who had Alzheimer's, and that was tough. All of that was tough on me, but I'm walking tall. I'm standing tall, let's say, with it because I did it all myself. So these are all things, and things happen to people, and they have to adjust, don't they, Anna? They have to take one step and then another step and then another step. So we were talking about you being an alchemist, and I'm going to hook you up with Colm. I really, really am. He'll love you. Oh, my goodness, yes. So
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yes. No, it'll just take one email for me. Trust me. But anyways, okay, so your first book was Change Your Mind, Heal Your Body. Am I correct?
Actually, my first book was about my lovely ancestor. It was Nature's Alchemist about the 17th century and people who loved plants in those days and how that saved his life, actually. And then I wrote about healing, Change Your Mind, Heal Your Body. And that has gone off on its merry way into the world. And I was describing how healing worked for me and what the process I used to successfully heal was, because I think that people maybe had the idea that it's some kind of magic wand and that only some people can do it. And to be honest with you, I don't believe that. I believe that only some people maybe want to do it, but we are human. We're all the same. We all have these capacities, and the power of our mind is so extraordinary. And it just gets more extraordinary the more you use it.
Mm-hmm.
So I now teach healing, and I teach people to do what I am talking about in this new book, Beyond Sex and Soup. I'm teaching people how to be sensitive to their inner senses so that you don't just you know, sit down and think of yourself as the person that functions in a physical environment. Yes, you are that. But you are also what you really are is completely invisible to everybody else. You are your thoughts, your memories, your desires, mm-hmm. your wishes, your feelings, your fears. All of those things are really who you are. And you can work through all of those things one by one and really clear your path so that you have a very strong sense of where you want to go and how easily you can free yourself of things that hold you back, like anxiety or fear or jealousy. All these emotions that are so powerful, but really stop you living your best life.
Right. You know, today I said to my girlfriend, I said, you know, she's classy. I consider myself like a slob. I mean, I'm not, if you look at her and looked at me, I mean, you would like me, yeah, but the exterior, right? You'd have to get to really know me. And she said, what are you talking about? She said, thank you, but what are you talking about? I said, well, look at us. Look at what you wore today and look at what I wore today. Well, yeah, so. And I said, if I had to go, we were laughing about it. If I had to go someplace very exclusive, very a showy kind of place, say, you know, be out in front, I said, I wouldn't know how to act. She said, oh, yes, you would. She said, you know what you would do? And I said, no, tell me. She said, you'd get everybody to be like you. She said, you can talk to anyone, and they're not even going to see what you, if you're not wearing something right or something wrong. And so just at that time, the bartender or the guy that's working there, I've known him for years, he's getting married, he came up, he says, I'm so happy to see you, gives me this big hug. He said, I just love you, you know that. And I said, well, but you're marrying somebody else. And he was laughing. I mean, he could be my son, but we were always tease each other. But anyways, and she was right. I could probably present myself, but yeah, I would be quiet at first. I'm shy when I'm around a lot of people. And you know what I'm doing is I'm observing them, Anna. I don't have to speak right away. I'm observing. Sure. I'm watching what you're doing. And I have to be careful not to be so critical, because sometimes I can be like that. And I, you probably do the same thing. You want them so much to be the best that they can be. And then you see things happening and you think, well, why are you doing that? What purpose? I mean, you know, stupid stuff. So you see how today fell right into our conversation, and probably for you too, or it'll happen later for you. I don't, because it's still, what time is it there? Six?
No, it's 9:30 at night.
Okay, all right. So, I think, and I have the advantage of talking with people like you, so that when people listen, and this is recorded, and Candy will put it out everywhere and anywhere, I think they can see that, you know, how does she talk to these people she doesn't know? It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy
mm-hmm.
for me. You know, I love mm-hmm. it. I love people.
It's
I love
because
life.
You love,
I love
people, exactly. And
yes,
when
I do.
You love people,
I do.
You just want to know who they are and how they are.
Yeah,
that's
they're so open and comforting. And I've never met you. We've never talked before. We've emailed back and forth with X's and O's and all that. But, you know, that's my style. I don't have anybody mm-hmm. write for me. I do that because I want you to know I'm happy to meet you. And you mean something to me. There's a fondness already, and I haven't even talked to you yet. But anyways, okay, so tell me, how did this title come to be for your latest book?
Okay, so I was running workshops to help people deal with really powerful emotions, like I said before, like anxiety, which is a big one and can really ruin your life. Or anger, which is another one, and I had devised these methods that were very simple, very easy to practice, but very powerful to overcome these difficult areas. And I thought, you know, I need to write this in a book, because you don't actually need to wait till you get ill before you need to start healing. Really, you can just heal your life as
right.
it is. And so I started to write it, and I thought it was going to be dead simple, you know, be finished in 6 months. And then there came a point where I thought, you know, I'm trying to write the universe in a tiny little grain
yeah.
of rice.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to take on board that all of this, none of this is an accident. That I was actually trying to bring something really big into something really small, which is one individual's life or feelings. And actually, that is how it is all the time. It's like we're all flying a kite. We get up, we eat, we fall in love, maybe we make a family, and we do all those things. But for each one of us, there is a bigger perspective. There's something more that we're looking for. It's some understanding. It's some purpose. It's some journey that we're on. And I was writing the key to that journey. And then in the middle of it, my beloved mom got ill. It was the last illness of her life, and my life was completely thrown upside down.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And so she came into the book too, because, you know, there is nothing that makes you appreciate your life as it is, with all its problems and all its difficulties, as much as the possibility of death and the very presence of my mom leaving her life crystallized everything that I was trying to write. So that's why it ended up being called Beyond Sex and Soup. It is sex and soup, but it's
much more than
what
that.
Leads us beyond, exactly. It's
yes,
living
it's
a
much
spiritual
more than
adventure.
That. Yeah, really. And really, that's true. And I have my daughter-in-law just lost her father. Her mother passed away about 20 years ago, but the big thing with her, and I'm trying to talk to her, is he was going to come see our granddaughter graduate, and her mother never got to see her granddaughter because she passed away before. That bothers mm-hmm. her so much, and mm-hmm. I said something to my son. I said, well, maybe, just maybe, because I'm the only one left now. I said, maybe she'll get a little closer to me, and he kind of looked at me, and he said, remember, her mom is gone, you're alive. And she still carries that
mm-hmm.
somewhere inside her that, I mean, she's good to me, she's really nice to me, but you can tell, you can,
mm-hmm.
I know, because I'm sensitive, I know that she really wishes it were her mom. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I sent her a text and I said, you know, just know that you are loved, and I put a heart after it. She didn't answer me for a couple of days. And I mentioned that to my son, and he said, well, does that really surprise you? And I said, yeah. I said, because really, I'm a good person. She, I really am. Well, you know that. But anyways, I said, I don't understand her. He said, Mom, you never will. She's envious. I have my mother. She doesn't, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, today she sent me a text, and she says, aw, she says, that's so nice of you. So sweet of you, she said, and she put a heart after it.
That's
I haven't
nice.
Told my son yet. Because
that's
you see,
nice.
Yes, it is nice, because I keep hoping that she's going to get a ring in her head, you know, ding dong, hello. You know, your mother-in-law is really, I mean, I outshine her mother, to tell you the truth. She just wasn't like me. But she just feels that, so I'm going to keep talking to her nicely and gently, you know, letting her know how much she's loved. And I haven't seen her since they've come back, but I know it's really hurting her. I lost my parents less than 5 months of each other.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
yeah.
that one?
It, you know, the truth is that a part of us is always a child. My mom was 95 when she died. Her child was alive and kicking, believe me. And a part of us is always the baby. And
yes.
we actually need to go back to that baby to free ourselves up of the spaghetti that builds up inside.
Yes.
You know, it's about freedom, really. It's about freedom and clarity. And
you know, my son will come over.
As you let go of this stuff, just begin to feel so much lighter and so much more transparent.
Well, I'm hoping that he will see what I really am too, Anna, that I'm really a very loving lady, very beyond what she even knows. And I don't know. I'm going to keep trying. But when my son was over, sometimes I'll look over at him and I'll think to myself, gee, I wish you were still a little boy. You know, I think about that. So before he fell asleep on the couch because he comes over because he can relax and he talks with me and we laugh and we watch TV and when he has time because he's got his own business.
Uh-huh.
And he woke up and he sat up and I said, you know, he said, what? I said, I was just thinking about you being a little boy on my couch. He said, oh, I wish I could be that too, Mom. I said, well, that's just, you know, I mean, I love what you've become. I love my granddaughter. You know, she's beautiful, smart, kind, all of that. I said, so that it's just a mother talking. And he said, you know, one day my daughter's going to be like where I am. And I'm going to be like you, looking at her.
True.
And you know, and it's funny because when you get older, Anna, you really start to think like that. I just feel that I've changed. And the reason I've changed is because of the work that I do. I think
I'm sure
from the very
true.
Beginning.
I think,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll keep talking.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, when you're working with people, when you're healing people, each person is bringing you a story, like the deer come to your back garden and they bring you their presence. So each person, whether they're hurting or whether they are sick or whatever, they're bringing you something, and it's your ability to heal is actually allowing you to learn their lesson or learn what they have to teach you. I mean, I have learned so much from healing about the continuity of consciousness, about the non-separation, you know, that we don't separate from, of course we separate physically from people we love at death, but we don't actually separate from that part of our consciousness, which is integrated with their consciousness. The love itself knits us together so that you can have a conversation with someone you have loved a long time after they've passed.
Right.
And still, it will be like a fresh conversation that you've never had before, because your
life gets
consciousness
so complex,
is knitted into them. It does.
It does. Mm. It really. So tell us. Okay. So this book, your book that you, this latest one that you wrote, it's coming out the 20. Is it out or is it coming out the 28th? I have the 28th here.
Actually, no, it's already out. It came out the 28th of January, and it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all big bookshops, because the publishers, as you know, they're very good, and they have good communication across the world.
Now,
so,
who is your
publisher? Already available.
Is it Gavin?
It's Gavin, and it's John Hunt Publishers, yeah.
I should not. I mean, I always guess it right because Gavin, he'll write me, oh, I got three that I want on your show. You know? And he's been right every time. Oh, no, it's beautiful. We'll write back and forth. And he's just such a sweetie. I write to him once a month and I'll say, okay, bring it on to me. He brings, you know, he'll send me excerpts or stories or something for the magazine. And he says, how do you know I'm always going to do this? He'll write me a quick email. Because I know you are. You will. He says, I'll write back
Gavin.
In one sentence.
Yeah.
Have you ever not? He probably laughs and he thinks, God, she knows me and I don't. We have never really spoke. I would like to get him on the show because
he's
written some things too.
Yeah, he has. You should get him on. Yeah, he's great.
I'm going to try. I've asked him before, but, you know, he maybe that's not his thing, but I think he does go on shows. I'll see what he says because I would love to. Oh, we would have the greatest conversation. He calls me his star. And I said, you know what? You say that to everybody. No, I don't. You're my big star. Oh, okay, so the other ones are little stars. We send these one-liners back and forth to each other. So they're little stars. I'm the big star. He says, yes, you are. You are my star.
Right. Great.
So sweet,
great.
Isn't it?
No, he's
so
amazing.
Now you are promoting this book a lot, and I want to give your website before I forget. It is Anna, A-N-N-A, Parkinson, Parkinson.com. She's got everything that she's done. Okay, and she has a beautiful picture there, and she talks about healing. You have to go see this. It's she's so lovely, and I got to see her on Skype because we ended up talking and laughing there too. So we've been carrying this conversation on for at least an hour already, between offline and online, right?
That's certainly true.
Yeah. So what I like about your site is at the top of it, it's a call to responsive design. I know what that is because I work with stuff like that, but it's responsive. So what happens is she's got, if you go to the top, sometimes my little thing here goes a little wonky, cursor, because I probably need a new one. She has little quotes from people, like she's got one from Buddha that will show up. And then if you watch it, there it goes. It's flipping again. Now it's Anthony Robbins. All these things that people have said that make a whole lot of sense to me. Who's going to be the next one? Oh, Anna! Paradox is the point where the logical mind gives up and in letting go discovers another continent. Boy, if that isn't true. A Course in Miracles. I read that.
Who said that?
You did
that. I said that.
Well, because it's like a shift, you know, it'll go down. Now, here, Harry, Urane, Jim, there are two ways to forgive, now or later. I like that. That's true. Mm-hmm. Wayne Dyer, of course, the man with all kinds of beautiful sayings. So did you just pick out some, or how did this happen? I love this. I could sit and watch this for a long time because there's all these beautiful quotes. Did you decide to do that? I lost her. I lost Anna. Of course, I don't know. She may be out of time. I know she said she had time, and we were talking forever before the show started. But isn't she wonderful? She's just the sweetest lady. And her latest book is, and Candy's got it here for me. I know she does. Where is it? It is Beyond Sex and Soup. Living a Spiritual Adventure. Oh, here she is. She's back. There you are. Whoop. Hold on.
I'm still here.
There you are. You got disconnected somehow from my dashboard. But I was just telling them about your site, and I want to know, where did these quotes come from? Did you find them? They're on your site?
I found them.
Okay, I found them.
They're just things that seem to me to be true and beautiful. And
they resonate, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh,
so
we could do a show on these.
I've tried. I think I read a lot. I write. I get information from everywhere. I get information from people I heal. I get information from books.
Uh-huh.
And I've met some wonderful, wonderful people. You know, when I interviewed the Dalai Lama, that was extraordinary.
Oh, my, what an honor. That must have been wonderful.
It was.
Were you nervous?
I should ask you.
Were you nervous?
It was kind of extraordinary, I have to tell you, Natalie. It was in Ladakh. It was in the mountains, the Himalaya mountains in northern India. And the Dalai Lama arrived, and I was ushered into a room with two other young female journalists and about 120 monks who were looking after the Dalai Lama.
He sat,
it was this tiny room, it was very hot, he sat in the corner on the only chair, and all the monks were standing and the fans were whirring, making a terrible noise, and we three journalists, we kind of knelt at his feet because there was literally nowhere else to be.
Right.
And it was funny, it was extraordinary, it was wonderful. We asked such different questions because we came from such different cultures.
What did you ask?
So, like, I said, if you were able to go back to Tibet, what makes you think that the young Tibetans would still want you because they've been influenced by the Chinese for so long? And that's when he said about seeing with one eye and when you're young.
That's right. Yep.
And I thought, oh, well, how am I going to use this? But later on, I listened back to it, you know, maybe 20 years later, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I get it. And that's exactly what I mean about paradox, you know. It's like two things are true, and they're completely opposite, and you're stuck.
But they're different.
You can't
go
any further, and that simply opens your mind. It's like,
and they can both
blows
be right.
Your mind.
Yep.
Exactly. They're both right.
Yes.
And that's what I tried to, in Beyond
Was
sections,
he witty?
You
know what? He seems like he would be witty, like, I don't know why.
Oh, he's really funny. He is really funny because he's got no side. He's not trying to prove anything. He's not trying to be something he's not. He's just trying to be a human being, but a very wise human being.
Right.
And he is such a great teacher. And I have heard him say, I'm not sure whether you're allowed to say this on your show, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Say it anyway.
I have heard him do an interview where he's being interviewed and he's being asked lots of questions about, you know, how will the next Dalai Lama be chosen and all the rest of it. And then suddenly he leans forward towards the camera with a twinkle in his eye and he says, you know, even I fart.
And coming from him and his little garment, the garment that he's got on, oh, my God, I'd probably fall off the chair laughing.
And I just bless him. He's just like, he just uses humor.
It was just as a general statement. Oh, well, yep, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm just a
funny
human being.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Hilarious. Hilarious. He's got a twinkle in his eye. You're right about that. I look at him and he's like he could really tease you.
Yeah.
He could fool you.
Yeah.
But by the same token, he wouldn't be doing it viciously. He could be like a little, almost like a chameleon sometimes, that you think he's this way and then all of a sudden he's a different way.
Yeah.
Now, what were the other questions?
Okay. Well, you have to, are you asking me or are you going to ask me a question?
I'm asking you, what were the other questions
Okay, so this was brilliant. So I was there from the BBC, and I was doing a very political interview. And then there was a girl there from France Inter, which is the Paris radio station. And she said, Your Holiness, how will they choose the next Dalai Lama? And he said, well, you know, maybe they will do what they did when they chose me, like, you know, they will go out and they will find a child and the child will recognize things that I have owned, but maybe they won't use that method anymore. And he said, you know, people think it's very strange the way they choose the Dalai Lama, but the way they choose the Pope is pretty strange too. You have to watch and see what color the smoke is coming out.
Exactly.
Of the
oh, there's the smoke. Okay, they chose somebody. Yeah, oh, yes, okay. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? I'm sorry, I was raised a Catholic, but that is ridiculous.
Well, he
I think
he was,
we need to update that, right?
Well, that's what he was saying. He was saying update it all. He was saying update the Dalai Lama choosing, update the Pope choosing. And then the third question was wonderful because we were asking these serious Western questions. And the third journalist was from the local radio station. She was from Radio Lay. And she said, Your Holiness, what is the meaning of impermanence?
Oh, jeez. I would probably ask him, so tell me, what do you eat for, what do you have for breakfast? What are your meals like? I'd probably ask him something dumb.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, he was great. It was a great experience. And what I didn't realize at the time was that I would live that experience. You know, I would live what he was telling me. I would develop double vision, literally, physically. And I would have to go through the experience of that physical strangeness to understand that double vision, if you like, was built into my psyche, was built into the human way of being, that you are an animal, but you are also a spiritual being. And you have to accommodate both of those things, and they both relate to each other and integrate with each other. And that makes your life really purposeful. It gives you meaning and adventure, and nothing is bad in that situation. It feels bad for a while, but when you understand it, it turns into the lesson you needed.
And I never looked at, you could probably look at everything that way.
I do.
Okay, this didn't turn out like you wanted it to, but you gained something from it, right?
Exactly.
And you can't, and sometimes you're so disappointed, like, just say you're up to win something and you don't win anything at all. But by not winning anything at all, what is it going to make you do in the future? Are you going to try to do something like that again? Or is this going to cause you to create something new and more appealing? Or, you know what I'm saying? So I think, there is a lesson in everything. I mean, all of it. Even the people that you may spar with, I call it sparring. I just forgive people. I just don't worry about it. You should love everybody. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be holding anger or you did this to me and don't even bother. Don't even go there with me. Maybe because I'm older but I didn't do that when I was younger either, Anna. My dad used to call me the will of the wisp, and I said, why? He said, because that's what you are. He said, you kind of like your airy, A-I-R-Y, airy. I really?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He said, he said, you're here, but you're not here. I said, God. My dad was very wise. I don't even think he knew how spiritual he was. The will of the wisp.
I think that we're all partly our mothers and partly our fathers, even though we are unique. And if you look at your life and what you have done and what you've become, you'll see that it embraces some aspect of both your mother and your father, but it's
mm-hmm.
different because you've got
yes.
a different journey. You've got a separate journey.
Yes,
and that
true.
Is really interesting that you can look at relationships, even really difficult relationships, and you can say, okay, what is it in me that creates this difficulty? Because once you identify the answer to that question, you're able to let it go. That's where your power is. You don't
That's
have
right.
power over the other person, but you have such power over the energy that your body contains. And once you master that energy, you change the situation around you. You change everything.
And it's released.
Mm,
you let
exactly.
go of it. It's released.
You let go.
Mm-hmm.
And
you let
and
go,
and
all of a sudden you start
you
thinking, and you're not upset. You're not saying, well, "What
exactly.
did I do wrong?" You didn't do anything wrong. Let it go.
No,
that's why they say let it go. Don't let it keep brewing inside you. You know, like coffee brewing. Don't let it do that. It's just not worth it. And I think too, Anna,
think
the older
right.
you get, the more you realize it. I wish younger people would see that. I talk to my granddaughter a lot. She's very spiritual, but. She still doesn't quite get it, but she's only 17. You know, she's got years, and I wish it didn't take years for us to figure things out. But
well,
it does.
You know, actually, I think that young people are much, much more open now than they
yeah.
were
oh,
maybe
yeah, they are.
10
I can tell
or
you that.
20
yeah.
years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I don't think it will take them so long as maybe it took some of us. And I think that they there's much more of a balance between the softness of being, whether you're male or female, and the, you know, the toughness of being. It's much more balanced than it used to be. And in fact, one of the things the Dalai Lama says is the future of the world depends on the women.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
I think partly it's not just being born a female. Partly what he's talking about is the future of the world depends on us acknowledging our inner senses. Our inner senses are so powerful. The, you know, the yin, the softness of us.
Mm-hmm.
They're so powerful, and we can do so much with that energy, so much.
We can. We can.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have just begun.
But I love what you say about letting go. I quite often say to people, if I could sum up all the spiritual traditions in the world in two words, they would be let go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really true. I want to bring up your site again here, annaparkinson.com, annaparkinson.com. And, you know, it sounds to me like your latest book is not the only book people should read. I think they should read Change Your Mind, Heal Your Body as well first, and then read Beyond Sex and Soup. However, just try either one of them. It doesn't really matter because I have a feeling you, I know it, you write like you talk. You write like you think. So, and that's what they say. Now, if I'm going to ask you, if you thought I was going to write a book, what would it be?
I think you would write a book about love.
Yes.
And I think that you would write a book about the extraordinary characters that love has brought into your life. So your book would be a story of one character after another and the curious incidents that that led to.
Oh, yeah, I could bring a lot of people in, couldn't I? I don't know how many shows I've done, but in actuality, I have started a fairy tale about love.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
The reason being is that people have a tough time believing. And when you'll see when I end my show, you'll see why. They don't understand the first step to having something come to you, be for you. You have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, I mean, but that has to come from within. That's just not something you can keep saying, oh, I believe. No, 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 it's not good enough. You have to really believe. You really, really do. And that's the beginning for you. And I believe, and this is my theory, is that your soul is really behind your heart, and it guides everything. They can say your heart is, your heart is the largest muscle, I know that, but besides that, spiritually. And
the energy of your heart is all going to come from within,
all that.
Yeah.
It can't be just a word and you write it down, oh, I believe now. No, 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 that's not good enough for me. Mm-mm. Nope. And the fairy tale. And I'm going to have my granddaughter do the illustrations. She's actually started on them. And I've started the story.
Perfect.
But I want it for not people like our age, and I don't want to say we're old, and I don't midlife, I don't want to say that either. It can be for anybody who can read and understand what they're reading. That, you know, they say fairy tales don't come true. Really? How do you know?
They do.
I believe that, you see. So it's kind of my little whimsical way. You know, I've kind of told my son a little bit. Of course, my granddaughter knows. And, she just thinks it's wonderful.
It sounds lovely, Natalie. It sounds perfect.
Sounds like it's coming from me, though, doesn't it? Yeah.
You know, there's one thing. I know that sometimes people do have a hard time believing. So there's one thing that I suggest that you do, that it's like you have to focus on accepting the possibility of something quite small. And when that small thing comes into being, then you can begin to have confidence in your power of summoning things by your imagination. And it's like creating a stepping stone. When you go to cross a big river, You know, you start with one stone that is stable, and then you stand
yes.
on it, and then you
yeah.
move and you look for another stone, and just start with small stuff. Otherwise, you may get discouraged because
right.
the big stuff doesn't come pouring in. But
no,
it does
and
come.
You know, it's all about timing and when it's supposed to be there. Sometimes it's very difficult to wait, but it doesn't mean it's not going to come.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
sometimes when you
accept.
least expect it. So with that, I'm going to end our show. And I love you dearly. You're wonderful.
Bless you.
I'm going to write to you because I would love to put something in the March issue because then I can put our recording that we're doing there. I will send it to you if, just for your own listening enjoyment if you want to hear it. Hear us again laughing.
I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
and
I'd
having a good
it.
Time and say, listen to us. Oh, my gosh. And it went so fast. And I want to thank Candy because I know she's listening for rearranging everything. And, oh, I can do that. She says, I can change it. She always does that. She's
well,
so quick
you,
on the
Candy.
Draw. See, hi, Candy, she said to you. Did you hear that, Candy? Let me see what she wrote back. Yes, she said, I am here also. I've been here from the start of the show. My computer was glitching and would not allow me to post in here. Okay, this is our 236th show. She says, hello, Anna.
Hello, Candy. You've done a great job. I'm glad
oh,
we're
yes,
here.
She always says. Yes, she always says. And, yeah, I always play the song at the end of her friend. Her name is Gabby Ray, and it's called Free to Love. And so we always end that because it's an upbeat and makes you still stay on the high. As you're listening to you and I, they're going to still feel good about, because they're going to hear this song and it's going to keep them up, not down. Nothing's going to pull them down. So, yeah. So I'm going to be watching for my email. I'm going to send you something. And I'm also going to thank Gavin for introducing us. What a wonderful, wonderful friendship we have now.
He's great. Thank you. Thank you, Natalie. I've really enjoyed it.
And you have a good evening and much love to you. And okay, Candy, here's our song. I have to tell you, though, Anna, what I say at the end of my show, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I'm going to play Gabby Ray, Free to Love.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors, so get the chip off your shoulder.
evening, everybody. Much love to all of you. Bye, Anna.
Bye.
Bye, Candy. Thank you for all you do.